This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Say, Ducks fans, know you got to have the right players for all three periods, and sometimes you got to switch things up. Same thing goes for your drink on game day. So pour yourself a delicious Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum and Ginger. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you, and then drink responsibly. Just a quick reminder before we get this segment of our post-game show underway, a reminder that tonight's broadcast property of the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club. Any rebroadcast of tonight's game, either whole or in part, without the express written consent of the Anaheim Ducks and the National Hockey League, is strictly prohibited. I'm Steve Carroll along with Dan Wood, and we're going to bring in Josh Brewster via phone tonight. And again, the final, if you just joined us, Calgary beats Anaheim 3-2 in OT. And Josh, you must have some thoughts on what we just witnessed here this evening.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, my first thought is you got a good 40 minutes here. But 40 minutes is not 60 minutes, so we'll talk about the soft middle. And I think this was emblematic of what's been happening this season, the march to the penalty box. Now, in the third period, we had some opportunities. Excuse me. But in the second period, there's just not enough body-on-body contact, and that was our undoing.
Yeah, you know, Josh, it's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. How can this happen? In the first period, the Ducks had the only two power plays, including the 5-on-3 that resulted in the Mason McTavish goal. In the second period, the Calgary Flames had all four power plays. And then in the third period, the Ducks had all three power plays. I mean, that makes zero sense. And, you know, the second period has been a trouble spot for the Ducks, not only this season, but even going back in previous seasons. And you ask yourself, why? What's going on? I mean, the only difference is in the second period, you have the long change, and it makes it more difficult for you to get line changes because your players have to go farther away from their own net. But, you know, I don't think that explains the obstruction-type penalties.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say, I'm sorry, I was a little choked up there.
This game can do that to you.
Yeah. No, your sticks are doing the work that your body should be doing, and that's been happening all year. You've got to close these gaps. You've got to be more aggressive. You've got to be more physical. You have to be more in your face. Because if your stick is doing the work that your body should be doing, that's when you march to the penalty box.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's been happening, especially the last four games or so now. I believe, if my quick math is correct, that's 21 power play opportunities against over the past four games. So that's clearly an average of more than five per game. It's just too many. You know, we talked about it after the first penalty the Ducks took in the opening minute of the second period. You can live with killing a penalty per period. But when you start having multiple shorthanded situations within periods, that's when you start running into getting some guys fatigued. Other guys are getting cold on the bench, and then, you know, hard as you might try to wrest the momentum back, it's really difficult to do that. And, you know, it's not like the Ducks players and coaches aren't aware of this. Believe me, they talk about it over and over and over, and yet it continues to happen. So that's why you get choked up, Josh.
Hey, Josh, I'm just looking at the team summary for Calgary. They won the game tonight. It was truly a team effort. I'm looking at shot. I just want to run through this real quick. There was only one guy on the Calgary team in the shot department. That was defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, who didn't have a shot. But listen to these totals. 4-2-1-4-3-1-1-5-4-2-2-4. Another 4, then 2-2. 2-2. That means that everyone on this Calgary team pretty much contributed to the win last night. And that's a tough team to beat when everybody's doing their part for the opposing team.
Well, this is a club with a lot of size, and they will grind you down. I mean, take a look at the portions of this game where the Ducks were on the perimeter. You know, when you let the Calgary Flames push you out to the perimeter, an aggressive club like them, like I would prescribe that the Ducks should become, an aggressive club like the Flames, you're really giving them license, because to throw your weight around on the perimeter, that almost comes at no cost. It's when you get closer to the net that you're going to draw more calls. And the fact of the matter is, Calgary just dominated in the second, but this is the kind of stuff that's happened to us all year. And as Dan mentioned, it's got to be driving the coaches a bit batty, because you've got to get a handle on the aggression. When you're 5-5 or 5, or when you're killing a penalty, you have to go out and try to force the issue with whoever's handling the puck and have the faith that the rest of your teammates are going to be able to handle the rest. And Calgary took full advantage of our, again, playing at the end of our sticks in the second. That said, we played a much better game in the third, but you know what? Unless we would have gotten a few bounces, 40 minutes wasn't going to cut it. There are nights when a good 40 minutes will yield you enough goals to win. Tonight was not that night.
Yeah, and you know, Steve, going back to your point about all the shots on goal from virtually every Calgary Flames player, let's not lose sight of the fact that Ducks goaltender Lukáš Dostál turned in another tremendous performance tonight. He finishes with 42 more saves, and without Dostál, the Ducks are not in this hockey game in overtime with an opportunity to win. So Lukáš Dostál has done nothing but play well since he came up from San Diego, the relief appearance in Toronto notwithstanding. Every game Dostál has started, he has given the Ducks an opportunity to win, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out after Christmas, because John Gibson spoke to him this morning. He's confident that he will be ready to go come next week. Anthony Stolarz is a little farther away by all indications. Stolarz probably will need a little more time before he's ready to get back into action. But when Gibson and Stolarz are both ready to go, I would assume Dostál goes back to San Diego. You know, that would be the plan. And it will not be because he does not deserve to be here, because he's done nothing but prove that he belongs in the NHL.
All right, fellas. Yep. Well, we got through this hockey game tonight. Josh, what do you have coming up on Duck Calls?
I've got Peter Labardius, our radio color analyst for the Calgary Flames on the Fan 960 in Calgary. And I just want to echo Dan's point. 177 shots against in the last four games played against Lukáš Dostál. That's why I say when it happens to Gibson, it happens to Stolarz and Dostál, throw out the goaltending stats regarding this team, because they're just under too much pressure. And hopefully we can get back to limiting those shots.
All right. Want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast. We'll be tuning in Josh Brewster's Duck Calls here in a bit. For Dan Wood and for Josh Brewster, at least temporarily now, till we get some commercials in and get back to him. I want to thank Rick Cutler, our on-site engineer, Vic Pence, our on-site statistician, Cash Hibbler and the crew at Skyview in the state of Arizona. Want to remind you, it's a little bit of a break time, and it couldn't come at a better time, I think, for the Anaheim Ducks. Next game, scheduled for here at Honda Center on Wednesday, December 28th, 7 o'clock start. If you can't be here in person, we'll have the pregame broadcast at 6:30. So we hope you enjoyed the broadcast. It was a pretty entertaining hockey game, and we'll do our best to improve and hopefully get you a couple of points in the next effort against Vegas. Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network, brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. For everybody involved in the broadcast tonight, good job. After the upcoming commercial break, Josh will host Duck Calls, the final in OT, Calgary 3, Anaheim 2, and we'll talk to you this coming Wednesday from Honda Center, the Ducks in Vegas. So long, everybody, on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
Delivers the first foray, a couple of rights.
Nothing pushes the momentum of a hockey game forward like a good fight. And if you love that drama, you'll love listening to Court TV right on TuneIn, where you can stream crime news and live trials in audio form. Plus, you can also stream top news headlines brought to you by Newsy. TuneIn is the destination for your ducks and the best place for crime news and breaking headlines. Hear it all here.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888 tonight. In overtime, Flames 3, Ducks 2. Well, let's address the soft middle of the Anaheim Ducks 2022-23. Second period, 23-1 are the shots. And there's another long march to the penalty box like the one that we experienced Wednesday night. And this is kind of becoming the prototype, unfortunately, for the Ducks season. Tell me what you think of this. 714-940-2888. I think what's happening here, amongst other things, and we were just talking about this, is the Ducks are letting their sticks do things their bodies need to be doing more often. Now, obviously, we want sticks in lanes. It's the hockey stick. It's an integral part of the whole experience here. But you know what I mean when I say be more aggressive. Don't go 60% of the way to the guy at the blue line. Go 90 or 100% of the way. Put the pressure on at all times. Up the wall, up the boards, on the wall, in the neutral zone. Bring the body. Because what's happening is your sticks are sticking out and you're getting all these hookings and trippings and interferences that really were trippings. And these little calls that starts to pile up, and then you have a second period that really destroys your efforts. Because you got a good 40 minutes here. And some nights you get enough goals, your good 40-minute effort is enough to win the hockey game. But tonight, like a lot of nights, that's not the case. I thought we played a good first. I thought we played a good third. Look at Max Comtois defending Mason McTavish after the hit by Noah Hanifin, the cross check. He's out there for his teammate toward the end of the first. Well done. Mason McTavish draws a call, goes out, scores a power play goal. Later in the game, Jakob Silfverberg draws a call, he goes out and scores a power play goal. How often do you see that? So there's good things happening here. But in the second period, there's something that has afflicted this club all season. And you give me a call, 714-940-2888. It's your Ducks show. I think this is because of a lack of body contact. And I'm not talking about wrecking guys. I'm talking about getting in the way. We did a better job getting in the way in the third period. Did a better job driving the center lane in the third period. As far as players go tonight, I think Troy Terry was the best Duck on the ice today. 12 shot attempts and trying desperately again and again to try to make something happen. So the Ducks hang in. The Ducks are very game. I thought that in the first and the third they brought it. But, you know, a lot of the second period and at points tonight, our defensive zone exits were tough. So the rush chances were tough because you're not generating the speed you need through the neutral zone to really come in. Driving the center lane had to emerge. It emerged in the third. It was absent in the second. It was too easy to get to our net for much of the night for the Calgary Flames. So the level of sacrifice and the level of aggression, I think, is something. It's not effort. The effort's there. I'm saying the last 10% of space between you and the puck carrier. Are you going to play at the end of your stick, which will allow them to keep possession of the puck, or are you going to put body-on-body contact and separate the man from the puck more often? And this season, we have all these second periods. I'll just point to second periods. It happens in other parts of the game, but in the second period, it is really, really tough for the Ducks. So I'll give you an illustration. The numbers now, shots by period, we are negative 158 in the second period. So, and we came into tonight's action negative 26 in goals in the second period. So that's what's happening. I think it's playing at the end of the sticks. Although, hey, again, I like seeing Mason McTavish out there tonight. I thought he did a real good job. He probably could have drawn two or three tripping or stick penalties early in the game. I know ultimately he drew the one and then he scored the goal. And it was really too bad what happened when John Klingberg tried to clear the puck. It hits the ref and it bounces over, and then Nick Ritchie's brother Brett puts it away to make it 2-1. So there was a bit of flukiness there. But in general tonight, the reason that you had this problem of 23-1 shots in the second period has a lot to do with the way you're playing. And it's creeping up on us in the wrong games, because this is a game, I thought this is a game we could have won. Although I have to admit, when you march four times to the penalty box in the second period, I kind of can't believe you're still down only one. Well, enter Lukáš Dostal, which proves another point. This kind of stuff is happening to Gibson, Stolarz, and now Dostal. And the stuff that I'm referring to is 177 shots against in our last four games. So your goalie can't stand on his head every game. But Lukáš Dostal has availed himself very, very well. It will be very interesting to see what happens in our nets now, because we know what we've got in San Diego and Lukáš Dostal, and it's real good. It's real good. 714-940-2888. Let's take a quick break here on Duck Calls, and when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the go around the NHL, and then ultimately we're going to have Peter Labardius, the radio color analyst for the Flames, on Fan 960 in Calgary. But come right back, and then in a little bit we'll talk to Peter. We'd love to get your call. 714-940-2888. It's your show, Duck Calls.
Hey, Ducks fans. Wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real. Hey, Ducks fans. Wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Time is running out. Purchase an Anaheim Ducks holiday pack for the hockey fan on your list. The pack includes 2 Ducks tickets to 3 games and a bonus 90s-themed holiday sweater. If you want one to keep for yourself, purchase 2 tickets to 5 games and you'll receive 2 sweaters. Purchase your packs now at anaheimducks.com/bright. Well, I got a bright guy on the phone here. His head is certainly bright. It's Ned, the guy who paints his head. Ned, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, terrific, Charles. Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to everybody up there, and thank you for taking my call.
Proud of the Ducks.
I mean, they got a point, but you know, this is a very good league. The league's only getting better. I mean, the play is so incredible around the league. If you make mistakes, you're going to pay. And these guys are that good where they just, you start getting tired at the end of a shift and they sense, and you've got to hem the other team in and get them tired. And they know especially these more experienced ones. And when we were there in overtime, they could just sense it. And, that we've been out there too long and then boom. But all in all, we played a lot better, I thought. I think that I just got to figure out how to win games.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, Ned, let me ask you this. Let's drill into this because I mentioned earlier, I really do think the Ducks put forth a good 40 minutes tonight. But again, that's not going to cut it. I'm saying here, Ned, that unless we start playing more body-on-body contact and less at the end of our sticks, we're going to keep getting stick fouls. You got 4 penalties in the middle in the second period. And it's Ned, it's a deluge. You can't just say I'm not going to go to the penalty box. You have to play body-on-body. Body-on-body is not going to yield you penalties the way that sticks will. And hockey
That's
doesn't,
right.
Hockey,
and sitting back on your heels and waiting for the play to come to you rather than go out and intercept, especially in the neutrals. I mean, it's like in football. If you don't tackle a really good running back before he starts running north-south and starts running down, he's going to run you over. And when you let these NHL players just skate right through the neutral zone and with speed, they are going to, like Connor McDavid, you can't do that to that guy. I mean, he'll just ram it right down your throat.
Let me jump in and point something out. In the third period when we were having some success, if you noticed, Brett Leeson went after Rasmus Anderson, who scored the winning goal. Leeson hustle in the defensive zone, pressuring Anderson, and the opportunity went nowhere. Seconds later, Jakob Silfverberg did the same exact thing. And I notice, you know, Simon Benoit and Dmitry Kulikov, quite honestly, they get it a little more often. Cam Fowler's good physically. But we up and down this lineup, we have got to start to interrupt the flow. You can't have 177 shots against in the last four games. Lucas Dostal under that much pressure. Ned, thank you for calling the show. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. I'm going to go to Jay from Newport. Jay from Newport, you are on Duck Calls. Welcome to the show. What have you got for me tonight, Jay from Newport?
Yeah, hey, Josh, am I on with you?
Yes, you are. What's going on? It's Jay, right?
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, I thought tonight was a good effort. I'm out there hoping that something different was going to happen in the second period, and it just kept worse and worse. I think what I see as just a casual observer that the Ducks suffer from an identity crisis. They really don't know who they are as a team. And when the chips get down, like the wheels reel them off as they did in the second period. And I think if they could find their identity, they'd know what they could do when they're in so much trouble like they were. That second period was amazing that they didn't score, you know, that the Calgary Flames didn't score three or four goals.
Yeah, no, look, I think you make a great point, Jay, and one of the things with a youngish team is you have some veterans who I think understand what needs to happen, and you have a lot of younger guys or guys who are new to the NHL or on the cusp of the AHL, NHL, who don't have that level of experience, quite honestly. And
right.
I think we're kind of pulling in, you know, you got half, you're a little half, you're sort of half-baked in a lot of ways. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's,
absolutely,
you know, that's what's got. But here's the thing, Jay, on the optimistic side of this, and I wish it wasn't coming so slowly, and I wish it wasn't just 40 minutes tonight, because I've seen the Ducks play 60 minutes. You've got eight more home games here. You got eight more home games before you head back out on the road. So this is an opportunity to really bear down and sleep in your own bed and come to work for like 3+ weeks and work on these things at home. And if you have to have a shuttle to San Diego, that's fine too. But I think you're right. This is the perfect time to try to cement a better identity. I don't think that maybe we'll even complete that by the end of the season, but you can get a lot better. And I think this homestand is an opportunity to get a lot better.
Yeah, and it has to really come from the veterans. I mean, I think that is, you know, the guys like Henrique and Fowler really need to step up and kind of direct traffic a little bit on whose role is what, because McTavish is a great player and Zegras, I think Zegras really needs a lot of work on his defensive play. He's not a two-way player. He's all about it when he's, you know, sitting in front of the other team's net. But, you know, I've seen now like three or four, you know, game-winning goals by the opponent where Zegras was, you know, standing there, you know, just wondering where he should be. He just doesn't know. And it's really, really hurting them. So I see there's work to do with those young guys to bring them up to speed. They have the talent. It's just it is a lack of experience and a lack of knowing where to be on the ice to shut that up team down.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jay. First of all, thank you for calling the show. And you say that you're a casual observer. These aren't just casual observations. I would agree with you. There's a lot of growth to Trevor Zegras' game that has to come. And you've seen Mason McTavish's game grow. You've seen how long it's taken for Troy Terry up until last year, how long it takes to really develop a player. Then it comes into the supporting cast, and we're going to have to find better and better pieces, I think, to surround these young guys with. All right, let's take one little short break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to give a call to my guest, Mr. Peter Labardius. Welcome him to the show for the first time, and I will be right back here on Duck Calls after this short commercial announcement. 714-940-2888. Coming up next, Peter Labardius from Calgary Flames Radio. I'll be right back.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Doug.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
Start your year-end celebrations off with a totally 90s party at Honda Center and get a special edition Duck Central perk. Our matinee face-off against the Nashville Predators on Friday, December 30th is a game you won't want to miss. Packs start at $35. For tickets, visit anaheimducks.com/promopacks.
Back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Don't miss your chance to get an authentic Ducks branded whiskey barrel from Jack Daniel's Barrel Tree, displayed outside of Honda Center. Barrels will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis through January 6th or while supplies last. All proceeds will benefit the Anaheim Ducks Foundation. To purchase, text BARREL to 76278. Text BARREL. 76278. That's a pretty cool giveaway. All right. Very happy tonight to welcome Peter Labardius to the show. He is the Flames radio color analyst on the Fan 960 in Calgary. I've heard him for many years on Sirius XM with our buddy Steve Koulias and others, and had meant to have him on for a long time, and I'm very happy to welcome him to the show tonight. Peter, how you doing?
I am excellent and excited to be with you. I've listened to your show many times over the years myself, and always enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, it's very nice to meet you over the airwaves here. Okay, Peter, everybody's heard what I had to say. I'm going to boil it down real quick, but then you go ahead and tell me what you saw tonight at length, and then we'll break it down.
Sure.
The Ducks have a problem usually in the second period. It's the long march to the penalty box, and I know Calgary took some calls in the third, but one thing that's happening to the Ducks, there are stretches of the game where we're letting our sticks do the work that our bodies should do, and as a result, we take a lot of penalties and put ourselves in a bad spot where you get outshot 23-1 in the second period after you played a decent first period. It's part of the evolution of a youngish club, and that's my take if you boiled it down tonight. But we had a heck of an entertaining game tonight, so why don't you give me your take on it, and then we'll break it down from there.
Well, it was an odd game in the sense that, and sorry, I'm getting a little bit of reverb down the line, but Josh, you know, for the Flames, you know, their fourth game, your last game going into Christmas, you know, a real situation for them where they just felt like they needed to find a way to have 2 points. And after a couple of iffy shifts, I thought they took the game over for the first half of the first period, and then they took a penalty, and to the Ducks' credit, they did a really nice job in the back half of the period, and it was 1-1, and it probably should have been 1-1 in the second period, and this has actually happened a lot. I have a saying that I believe in wholeheartedly about sports, and that is, what do you do when you're clearly the better team? And what do you give up when the other team has their stretch where they're better? And I find a lot of nights if you're on the right side of that double down equation, you win. And the Flames just flat out didn't get enough done. I give the young goalie from Czechia, who I've watched over the years in international play, including a couple of World Juniors, Lucas was excellent in that second period. And, you know, I knew at some point that the Ducks were going to have a 5 or 6 minute stretch where they were real good. And they were real good to start that period. And they put themselves on the power play for a couple more instances. The Flames, who gave up 2 power play goals, got a couple of big kills, and you saw what happened in overtime.
Yes, indeed. So tell me a little bit about the Calgary Flames, because we had such, you guys had such a huge huge trade and signing over the offseason. I want to start with Mackenzie Weegar and John Huberdeau and the integration of them into the lineup. Evidently, Daryl Sutter's very happy with Weegar. He shoots right, but he plays on both sides from time to time. And then Huberdeau, I know, has had a little trouble finding his footing in terms of point production, but you know what he can do. So let's start with Weegar and Huberdeau, and then we'll talk a little bit about Nazem Kadri.
Well, there's been some inconsistency for both guys. Mackenzie has been a little bit up and down. I kind of categorize it this way. So you get traded, but in a sense, you're almost like fired. Two guys who had meant so much to that franchise, the only team they'd ever played for, both guys coming off their best ever seasons. Sorry, the reverb is crushing me.
Sorry about that, Peter. You sound good from here. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. But with that, you know, I think it's been really hard. It's one thing to be Matthew Tkachuk and want to go and end up in a situation you're really happy about. It's another thing, Josh, to, like I said, it's, you can call it whatever you want. Those guys, in a sense, were fired. You know, the Panthers decided that they wanted to go in a different direction. And I think, especially for Jonathan, it's been really hard. And when it doesn't start well and you put extra pressure on yourself and both guys in big, brand-new extensions and you're in a Canadian market, which, with no disrespect, is very, very different than a lot of American markets, I think both guys have found it difficult. And I think the style of play and adjusting to the type of demanding, I would say, relentless coach that Daryl Sutter is, has also been a big change. So it's been difficult in its own right for both of them.
Yeah, and I know Huberdeau was in the press the other day. Well, it was just yesterday, I think it was, talking about how he needs to shoot more. And Sutter seemed to be grinding his teeth a little bit about needing him to shoot more. But, you know, I also believe that this Calgary team, with the amount of toughness they have, and I like their defense a lot, and I think as the second half of the season moves on, I think they're going to get better and better in this division here. Okay, let's talk about Nazem Kadri. We saw what he did with the Colorado Avalanche, and of course we saw him for years in Toronto. But we saw what he did with the Avalanche, and he was a key cog in the wheel that put them over the top, and he minimized some of his crazier behavior. And now he comes to a very good Calgary team, and he's having a pretty good season thus far. Do you think that he has lived up to the billing? At 13 goals, 13 assists.
For the most part, he was riding an absolute high early in the year. You know, he got his Stanley Cup ring. The Avalanche came to Calgary very early in the year on October the 13th. He was clearly their best player right off the get-go in a stretch where they started the season with 5 wins out of their first 6. And then, Josh, you know, I think he hit a bit of a wall, which is pretty understandable. when you think about it, the big change. You just won the Stanley Cup. You just got your ring. You're determined to come to your new team that signed you to a big deal. And probably not, again, even in Nazem's case, probably not exactly the place or the situation he thought he might be in the summer. So he's playing. He's just, I've been watching him since he was a 16-year-old member of the Ontario Hockey League's Kitchener Rangers. And he plays with great passion. He's highly competitive, shoots the puck. And, yes, Colorado doesn't do what they did last year without him. And I think it's also been a change for him because he's one of those guys that I wouldn't say was insulated in either Toronto or Colorado, but a lot of great players around him in both those places. And I think sometimes for him, that can almost be a better fit. Because I've always found for Nazem, it's like he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder where maybe he doesn't feel like he's regarded in the same elite category as some of those other people. And frankly, he probably shouldn't be. But he's a heck of a hockey player. He always has been. You talked about, you know, some of the really hard lessons that he's had to learn. I think he's matured. And, you know, the Flames are obviously happy to have him.
So let's double back to the hometown heroes here, Anaheim Ducks. I'd love to get your take on where you think the Ducks stand. I think almost everybody I talk to says, you know, we understand the Ducks are in a rebuild. There's no question about that. But that they didn't know that they would struggle quite as much as they have been. Fortunately, we got a point tonight. But why don't we let's talk about three of the bright lights here. Trevor Zegras, sure. Troy Terry. Yeah, Zegras, Terry, and McTavish. I think McTavish is really starting to come along. I think he's going to scale the rookie scoring list, and you're going to start to hear a little more Calder dark horse consideration, although yeah, I think it's between Beniers and Thompson and Kotchikov and maybe Shane Pinto, I don't know. But, you know, the Ducks do have those bright lights to look at, and not to mention Jamie Drysdale, who unfortunately isn't here and won't be for quite a while due to injury. But tell me what you think about the Zegras, Terry, McTavish, because I think that fans, despite all the losing that we're going through, I think the fans are still very excited about these young guys.
They should be. They absolutely should be. And the guy that I'm as excited about as anybody, because I just absolutely covet good defensemen. And you know it, you watch it all the time. Jamie Drysdale comes into the league at 19 years old, plays 20 plus minutes a night. That's a massive loss for that hockey team. But he's got a really bright future. Troy Terry, who I, like many others, waited for him to kind of find it. Well, he found it last year in a big way. I don't know about you, Josh. I thought he was the best skater in the game, period. End of story for both teams. He was incredibly dangerous. He made things happen all night long. It was very unfortunate, you know, not to have a bigger night on the stat board than he ended up having. I thought he was outstanding tonight and really happy for him and the Anaheim Ducks that he's found his way. And Mason McTavish is, he's just one of my favorite young guys to come along. Now, I'm a massive Canadian patriot. I love international sports. I love international hockey. I will probably be forever grateful for him somehow stopping that puck on the goal line to help my country win the World Junior. He's strong. He's smart. He's intelligent. He shoots the daylights out of it. And the other thing about him, and not that I spent a ton of time with him, but Josh, this is a young man who just has a very infectious personality about him. And I think that's going to really bode well. Zegras, to me, he's the younger version in some ways of Patrick Kane. Hands, vision, creativity, shoots it. I think he's still got lots to learn in terms of his play away from the puck, but that's pretty normal. So there are lots and lots. And I'd mention another guy. People don't talk about him enough for me, and that's Isaac Lundestrom. They miss him too. And he's really started, in my opinion, my viewings, really started to come into his own. So I really like a lot of the Ducks' core pieces.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Lundstrom, he had struggled in the points department this year, but you could see last season his ability to really use his speed and drive the center lane. And I thought he was a... He was not just because it's his countryman, but I thought he was like a nice reminder of Sammy Paulson, except with even more offensive upside. Like he could really play 200 feet.
That's a great analogy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So and then I thought your point about Patrick Kane and Trevor Zegras reminding you of Patrick Kane in some regards. There's something about Zegras' patience with the puck. And his that swagger of his, you can't bottle it. And I think the Ducks really have something there. Peter, in my last couple minutes with you, I got to mention the elephant in the room, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin. And of course, he's getting nightly attention, as he should. And I think it'll die down now for a little while. But tonight, 801 and 802 goals. He's up to 22 on the year. And it's an amazing moment in hockey history that he has now surpassed Gordie Howe. So everybody's heard what I have to say about him. I think even as Father Time catches up with him, I think he will catch Gretzky. I think it's just a matter of if it's in 2 years or 3 years or 3.5 years, whatever it's going to take. Because I think Father Time catches us all. Who knows when it'll catch Ovechkin. That said, why don't you give me your take on this historic night?
Well, I never really thought anyone was going to challenge Wayne's record, and now I'm almost certain that it's going to be Eclipse. And whether it's tonight's great accomplishment, whether it's Alexander Ovechkin getting out of the second round of the playoffs to jump on an airplane and play the next day in a world championship for a country, besides his incredible skill, his power, the way he shoots the puck, power play specialist, Josh, from a very young age, the one thing that was incredibly evident and still is at his age today, his passion and his love of the sport. And you combine that with all those physical tools and gifts, you know, I'm old enough to remember his mother playing for the Soviet Union in the 1976 Summer Olympics in basketball. So there's lots of good bloodlines athletically, but he is a marvel. I've grown to appreciate him more and more as the years have gone by. And I do. I think he's definitely now going to surpass a mark that in my lifetime I thought was pretty safe.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Peter, I'll tell you what. Let's not even wait until we face the Calgary Flames again. I want to get you back on Duck Calls here sometime in the new year. It's an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and I really appreciate your taking the time on a game night to hop in on Duck Calls, and let's do it again.
Josh, keep up the awesome work to you and yours and your staff over there, and love your broadcast crews on both TV and radio. Please say hello.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Best of the holidays, and I'm happy to join you anytime you make the call.
All right, my friend. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. All right, folks, 714-94. All right, Peter. 714-940-2888 in my last couple few minutes here if you want to jump in. I thought Peter had some great takes, and yes, I've often compared Trevor Zegras to Patrick Kane. He does remind me He does remind me of a young Patrick Kane in many ways. Another great American, maybe the greatest American when it's all said and done. Let me give you some scores tonight. The Bruins went into New Jersey, and the Bruins, what did they do? Oh, they won 4-3 tonight, the Bruins over the New Jersey Devils. David Pastrnak, his 23rd and 24th goal of the season, of course, in a contract year. And Patrice Bergeron and Jake DeBrusque move up to 13 goals on the year. So 4-3 tonight over the Devils. Mackenzie Blackwood takes the loss for the Devils. All right, the Flyers go into Carolina. They make a game of it, but in the end, it is Carolina 6, Flyers 5. Then we've got the, of course, we just talked about the Jets going into Washington. Ovechkin scores 8:01 and 8:02. He's congratulated by Mark Howe on the video screen, and there you go. Not much more needs to be said. 5-1, the Islanders tonight over the Panthers. The Islanders are coming on strong. Zach Parise and four others. So the New York Islanders had Anthony Beauvillier, two goals. Zach Parise scored. Ratty and Pulak also scored for them. If I could spit it out in English, that would help. Avalanche 3, Predators 2. This is in overtime. Sam Girard, defenseman Sam Girard, finishes it for the Avalanche tonight by the same OT score you saw here in Anaheim tonight. Les Canadiens go into Dallas, and the Stars win 4-2 tonight. Roope Hintz, two goals for the Dallas Stars. Blue Jackets go into Chicago, speaking of Patrick Kane, and it is the Blackhawks 5 and the Blue Jackets 2. Jonathan Toews gets his 11th goal of the year. Patrick Kane also scored. It was his 5th. The Canucks 5, the Oilers 2. Boy, I'll tell you, I watched that game, Canucks, Howell said Seahawks. Canucks, Seattle Kraken last night, and Elias Pettersson, man, you want to talk about a guy who's going to get paid even bigger. He's on a $7 million a year plus 3-year bridge deal. He went in last night, 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points. He factors in all of their scoring in a comeback win, and then he gets the shootout game-winning goal. Well, tonight the Canucks come back 5-2 over the Oilers. They go up to Edmonton. It's in Edmonton. Bo Horvat gets his 23rd goal and 24th goal of the season. JT Miller, his 12th and 13th. They talk about trading Bo Horvat. I can imagine, and it will probably happen, I can only imagine the haul for Bo Horvat. Kings go into Arizona. It's a shootout win for the Coyotes, 2-1 over the Kings. The Golden Knights 5, the Blues 4. This is also in a shootout. That's in Vegas. And then that's it. Flames 3, Ducks 2. Let's get out of here. I will talk. First of all, have a very Merry Christmas. If you celebrate Hanukkah, I hope the rest of Hanukkah is wonderful. And I will be talking to you again. Let's take a few days off. And I will talk to you again on Wednesday when the Ducks face the Vegas Golden Knights right here on Ducks Stream. 6:30 is the pregame. 7 o'clock is the game. Have a safe and Merry Christmas, all of you. Have a good night.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Today's hottest hits are not only topping the charts, they're boosting your day with positive energy and catchy hooks. And the best app for all your favorite audio, TuneIn, is here with our exclusive Today's Hit Station to keep your finger on the pulse of today's hottest artists like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, and so many more. Plus, you can ditch the commercial breaks with a TuneIn Premium channel. Look no further. Stream Today's Hits. Only on TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
First Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
Join the coolest club in the NHL, the Wild Wingers Kids Club, presented by Chalk and UCI.